Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Emergence News. Kia ora, my name is Nigel, and we're into May 2026 already. Welcome to the program. In the studio, joining me are John.
Hello. Yes, I'm practicing harmlessness.
And Peter, who has been on air at this radio station since 1988. You must be just about due for a gold watch by now, Peter.
he must be 300 years old, Nigel, at least.
I did get a gold disc at when I got to 10 years, I think it was. It's hanging there in the garage.
Oh, highly valued in your garage.
I was just going to say pride in place.
So the purpose of Emergence News is to inform you about the presence of Maitreya, the world teacher, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. Some of the subjects we cover include meditation, the ageless wisdom teachings, and who has provided those teachings, that body of work to humanity since the late 1800s. Other subjects that we look at include political and economic commentary of current events and a big picture context to those events and the difficult conditions and enormous changes in every department of life at the moment. Some other subjects we look at are the purpose and meaning of life, the seven rays, the science and technology of the future, reincarnation, karma, and a whole lot more, John. We cover quite a wide spectrum of philosophy, really.
We're actually three blokes in a shed just talking about our topic. And our topic is enlightenment. Our topic is esoteric teachings. Our topic is the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher. And so we just sit around and talk about that, don't we, really? Yeah. That's what it is.
And stare at Peter's gold record.
And look at Peter's hanging gold record collection.
In his garage.
It's probably hanging from Fishgut.
If you're interested, you can find us online at Plains Media. They have a website, that's Plains Media, here in Christchurch in the South Island of New Zealand, and also on Substack, where we have our own website. And coming up in just a moment, Peter, you've got a special interest story for us. And later on, from, what, three steps closer to God, you've got a message from one of the Masters of Wisdom.
That's right, yes, the end of the barbarian age.
Sounds good, doesn't it? And John, you'll be looking at today. You've already told us.
I'm just kicking my axe under the desk. My Viking battle axe. I'm hiding it because Peter's telling me the age of the barbarian is coming to an end. I'll pull up my longboat. I've got my longboat outside.
Welcome back to Emergence News. It's great to have your company, and the guys are in a wild mood today, so anything could happen. And we've got a really interesting story from the continent of Russia, Peter.
Yes, that's right. It's from a little republic in Russia. It's actually by the president of Kalmykia Kia. And it's on the Caspian Sea, and it actually it's got Azerbaijan on one border and I think Kazakhstan on the other border. So it's right there sharing the Caspian Sea with these other countries.
So it's just a small state.
Yes, that's right.
Less than 500,000 people.
Between those three countries.
I think you said 275,000.
Yeah, it's even smaller than Christchurch.
I was going to say, between those three countries, it must be all the continents known to man.
Well, these three republics that are Buddhist in Russia, and I found that quite interesting just as an aside. But they've done an interesting experiment with young people, and we were talking about that in our last program, and these people are under 25 and they spend a year learning how to govern their country. And so it's an interesting experiment, and they have advisors, obviously, that are in the older category. But
that's what I love about some of the smaller populations on the planet. You get the opportunity to to undertake experiments like that. For example, there are smaller countries like Norway and Ireland that have experimented with the concept of a UBI.
I also think in the smaller country, the politicians are probably able to take the pulse of the nation a little bit more accurately.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Even though we're a small country and it would appear our political class have not, but I would have to say...
Not a good example.
Those smaller countries seem able to pull stuff off, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So actually, Peter, they're practising democracy over there.
Well, yes, they are. Definitely.
Actually, you know, I just... I just mentioned the UBI and it's a universal basic income.
Yep.
But I noticed this week, Peter, is it Mexico...
Are going with
a universal healthcare plan.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Terrific.
UBI, you know, last program we talked about things that were mainstream now and were
seemed
not
a bit
10
radical.
Years ago. Mm. UBI, if you'd have said to people UBI 10 years ago, they'd have locked you up for being a communist.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. Now, UBI is all over social media. And it's a concept that is suddenly growing out of nowhere. And I read somewhere, and my brain is not working, but I read somewhere that if you do the math on UBI, you can save money elsewhere, right? Mm. If you just give people a fixed income that they know is going to arrive, their health issues get better. Your homelessness disappears. There's just all sorts of welfare issues.
So many benefits.
There's so many benefits. Mm.
There was a politician, Peter Dunn, New Zealand politician.
Yes.
15 years ago, he tried to talk about a universal basic income as a policy, economic policy, when United Future were a coalition partner with Labour. He got laughed out of Parliament.
I was going to say, have they found his body yet?
But he was just 15 years too early, wasn't he?
Oh, Bernie Sanders, his ideas 10 years ago.
Yeah, but he's...
He was on the verge of being arrested, I'm sure, right? Now he's almost mainstream.
But he's like Peter, he's ageless.
Have you seen him recently? The man moves like a yoga god. You know, I hope I can do what he can do at 80, whatever he is, 83. Or
terrific, isn't he?
He's amazing.
Anyway, back to your Russian story there, Peter.
Yes.
Sorry, Peter.
Okay. So this guy is the president of this Kalmatia. I came across this interesting story in the current Nexus magazine. It's about an onboard UFO experience in the life of the president of Kalmatia. The Republic of Kalmatia is a Buddhist republic on the shore of the Caspian Sea, next to Kazakhstan. Kersen, the president, is the man in the story. He is also president of the World Chess Federation. It happened in 1997, September, in Moscow, when he returned from a meeting to his apartment on the top floor. Then as he prepared for bed, he felt something was calling, and a tube of light showed through an open door. He was very game, obviously, and went through the tube of light into a very large space with many people similar to us. He would ask a question and they would answer in thoughts. He asked why they didn't connect to our TV screens, because everyone around them was on screens and they were doing what looks like computer work, to let people know that they were here. They looked at him and said, "It is still too early. Your people haven't reached the level of development to talk to us." He said, "We have internet, TV, space. What more do we need?" He says, "Do you converse with ants?" I found that so funny. We think we're so smart and we don't know anything.
But we know nothing about life, really.
We don't know anything about our own planet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little bit interested in the latest NASA thing. And basically our idea of space travel is strapping a huge fuel tank onto your back and lighting it and exploding you into space and then hoping
that you'll get back.
That we flicked you in the right direction and the gravity of the next body will bring you back. Well. I mean, it's primitive. And you see the conditions these astronauts live under.
They're in a tin can.
It's primitive. Yeah. No ping pong table, no gym, no nothing.
And how do they go to the toilet?
Oh, yeah, well, there was some discussion on that and it's not pleasant.
No.
So it's primitive. Come on. You know, I was at work and all the IT guys at work were watching it. Yeah. On television, you know, and it was a skyrocket smoking up into the sky and this bright sort of light. And it was like watching paint dry. And I said to one of the guys, what are you watching this for? He said, oh, it's technology at its best. And I went, oh, you poor thing. Can you levitate? Can you teleport? No, you can't do all of that.
No, we've got a long way to go. The technology of light, it won't be made available to us until we actually grow up.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly, yeah.
Just so funny to me, do you converse with ants? No, we didn't even think about it.
No,
well, that's the problem. That's actually the problem.
And we consider ants a problem. We consider them a pest and a problem.
That's right.
You know?
We don't coexist.
No.
We just get a spray can out.
I know, and that, I love that idea of what we classify as weeds is a growth that we can't make a buck out of. It therefore falls into the pale weeds. It's a weed.
Yeah.
I can't grow it and make a buck out of it. It's a weed. I've gone back to harmlessness because, and I'm going to preface this a little bit, because for some reason I've always thought if you behave yourself and if you do the spiritual practices, i.e. meditation, everything will come right. Everything will unfold. And I don't want to start an argument with the TM organization, but I think I picked that idea up from practitioners of TM, that all you had to do was the program. And a program is TM speak for the meditation process that you're currently trained to do. I'm not sure that it's the overarching philosophy behind TM, but what people that are doing TM seem to think is that all they need to do is the program, right? And I think that's where I picked that idea up from. Krem has a very different approach. He says that meditation is part of the equation.
It's part of the toolbox.
Because it brings in soul contact. But he said the real process is service. And you have to make a decision about service. So I've suddenly kind of thought about, actually, the life we want takes focus and practice. Doing your program, even if it is transmission or TM or whatever, may not be enough. You have to pick up and practice skills. And it would appear that harmlessness is one of those skills that you have to practice. It doesn't just happen, right? Oh, I'm meditating twice a day. I must be harmless. Well, maybe not. Okay.
Well, being harmless sounds so simple, but it's actually in practice. It's a moment by moment challenge, isn't it?
I can hardly say the word at times.
It's not just what you say; it's also what you think.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah,
yes.
It really is. And so, I'm a bit of a wordsmith. I like words. I like their meaning, and I like their significance. But the word harmlessness. Is a real mouthful for me, and I almost can't say it. It's a chunk of word. It's a big word. It doesn't roll around in my brain easily. So I kind of struggled to find some other ideas that might lead me to harmlessness. And I've thought about kindness. And, Peter, you practice kindness. Peter's a very kind man, even though we put him in the corner and say all sorts of things about us.
That's true.
See, there I go again, not being harmlessness, all right? I've thought about the word gentle. I've thought about the word patience. I've thought about the word gratitude. You have to practice those things, right? They don't just pop up. So I can do some of them, so I'm kind of trying to work my way around the actual word of harmlessness. But I've gone to Benjamin Krem's book, The Art of Living, Living Within the Laws of Life. And it's one of those books that really doesn't take any prisoners. He's not soft at all on how he explains things, which I guess we all need. I guess we all need to grow up. But page 19 of that book, he starts harmlessness by talking about karma, which surprised me. The law of karma, the law of cause and effect, this is Benjamin Cream, is the great law governing all our existence. Every thought, every action we make sets a motion into motion, a cause. The effects stemming from these causes make our lives for good or ill. We do it to ourselves. Because this law substands the human condition on planet Earth, we are bound by it. There is nothing we can do about it except be harmless. Now, we are plagued by youth crime at the moment in New Zealand and also overseas. Youth crime's a global phenomenon. And I understand some of the reasons why young people have no connection to their society, no engagement, and engage in what we call youth crime. But they also don't understand cause and effect. They don't understand they're making awful lives for themselves. And we don't teach consequence in our modern society. We pat people on the back and say, oh, you'll be fine, it's okay, you know. But really, we need to teach consequence because that's cause and effect. That is karma. So harmlessness, and he goes on to say, if you are harmless, you obey the law. If you create right action, therefore, from right action can only come right reaction.
And it's impersonal, isn't it?
It's impersonal.
So when you're talking about youth crime, for example, it's not a punishment. It's just a natural scientific process, isn't it, Peter?
It's not punishment. That's what we have to understand.
Yeah.
It's the result of your behaviour. You own it. You caused it. It's coming. You know, so you and your 13-year-old mate stealing that Toyota Aqua and racing around the city causing chaos, it may be fun, but actually it will have a cost to you. Mm-hmm. It'll come back to you. And I don't think we teach that. I've gone to page 44, and it's a question and answer situation. And he's really straightforward. So Benjamin Cream has asked, can you say more about harmlessness and harmfulness? Now, harmfulness is something I've specialised in for a long time. For example, how do we practice harmlessness? Is it to do with intention? And this is what kind of shook me a little bit. The best way to practice harmlessness is to practice detachment, right? The more detached you are, the more harmless you will be. The masters say that the law of karma is a beneficent law, and generally we have more good karma than bad karma. I got up this morning. I was alive, right? That's good karma. I earned that. I love that idea. I earned that. Some people find that hard to believe, but they may be just self-pity. So practice. This is Benjamin Cream. Is it to do with intention, he says? Of course. It is to do with intention. So he keeps going back to that idea of it's not going to just appear in the weeds in your garden. You have to do it. You have to practice it. And I find it intriguing that all the discussions we've had about honesty, sincerity, and practice, as the personal teachings given by Maitreya, the Lord of Love, the teacher of men and angels apart, everything comes back to that. Everything comes back to honesty, sincerity, and detachment. You want to be harmless? Practice honesty, sincerity, and detachment. You want to improve your karmic load? Mr. Putin, Mr. Netanyahu, Mr. Trump, start practicing honesty, sincerity, and detachment. That'll lead you to harmlessness. I think that's amazing.
You talked about our teacher, Maitreya.
Yes.
What did you say? You said something like teacher.
He is the teacher of men and angels alike. I love that phrase. That's one that Cream came up with, I think. And, you know, we just mentioned before about what we don't know. Right? Do we talk to ants? No. Do we know there's angels on this planet?
Do we know that there are devas?
Do we know that the human soul is a solar angel? What a wonderful idea. We don't know anything.
Do we know that the soul is one soul and we're all part of it?
Yeah, an oversoul.
An oversoul.
Do we know that dogs are Ray 2 animals?
That's why they love us.
That's why they love us.
Yeah.
Cats are Ray 3.
That explains everything.
It explains everything.
Quite aloof, aren't they?
You, listeners, if you want to know what a Ray 3 is, look it up in Benjamin Graham's teachings and wonder why your cat is so awful about you.
Yeah, no, the dog's being Ray 2 and cat's just, Ray 3 is perfect, isn't it?
It's perfect.
Yeah, it explains everything.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I might write a book called...
No, stick to radio.
Dogs are Ray 2, cats are Ray 3. What a great title for a book.
Welcome back to Emergence News, and over to you now, Peter. We've got enough time for this. What's the title? It's something about the Barbarian Age.
The End of the Barbarian Age. And this is by the Master, through Benjamin Krem. There will come a time when humanity will look back on this time as the Barbarian Age. So far from the possible ideal, the present dying civilization, that future men will wonder how... And for so long were we able to sustain it? There are many causes and factors involved in this sad situation. The long, slow decline in man's relation to man runs parallel and reflects the growing sophistication of his weaponry. His present triumphant ability to kill from places continents apart sets a seal on his progress to self-destruction. In this situation, it is small wonder that man's institution, political and economic, reflect in their turn this growing alienation of men from the wellspring of their lives. Commercialization, that burgeoning but stealthy and often hidden menace, controls how the lives and destiny of countless millions and reduces to a cipher the God-given individuality of man. People are now statistics without purpose or needs, pawns on the chessboard of market forces and company profits. The arid desert, which we call the modern world, leaves men bereft of that which makes them human, happy, creatively fulfilled, quick to respond to each other's needs, and free. Deadly competition corrodes the human spirit and now sits in the judgment on the battle of life. Life, the great adventure, has been corrupted and replaced by an agonizing and unfair struggle for mere survival. To be sure, these dire conditions are not everywhere and uniformly present, but for vast numbers, they represent the reality of their lives. And unless men change direction, they can only worsen. When Maitreya enters openly the world arena, he will show men that such a life of pain and struggle is not inevitable, that another way is theirs by right, if it be their will. He will show that already, amid the chaos and mounting greed, men are reacting against such weakening of the sacred ties of life, that great new forces are generating new beginnings, and that out of the present turmoil is gradually emerging a higher inner demonstration of the inborn capacity of man to meet the challenges of his time and to overcome his difficulties. Maitreya will remind men of their own high origin and destiny and will inspire the creation of a new way of living in harmony, in right relationship, without recourse to war or competition, in the fullest cooperation and mutual respect. Thus will it be.